Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Another BritBlitz.com podcast. My name's Stuart Wright, and today's guest is director Thea Sharrock. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Indeed, indeed. Now, we're here to talk about your film, Wicked Little Letters. Now, before we get into details about that, because on the BritBlitz podcast, we like to talk about the process of filmmaking, so we'll get into some of the challenges you met and overcome in the process. But first, do you want to give us just a brief synopsis as to what Wicked Little Letters is as a film?
Oh, gosh. Do you know what? That's a really tricky one. But in essence, this is a film that is based on a true story about a woman in 1920, Littlehampton, England, South Coast, started to receive some pretty foul poison pen letters. And she assumes it's her fairly new neighbour. The woman in question is played by Olivia Colman. Her neighbour is played by Jessie Buckley. And she, her family, and then pretty quickly the community all assume that it must be the foul-mouthed Irish Rose from next door. And we go on a bit of a mystery hunt to discover whether they're right or wrong. And by doing that, we discover much more about, primarily about Edith, right in the middle and the centre of it all, as well as reflecting on what England was like 100 years ago and therefore how much has changed.
Johnny Sweet wrote the screenplay. So in terms of process, how far was the script along the way when you came on board for this project?
The script was in fantastic shape when I received it, and Olivia was already attached to it. So I knew nothing whatsoever about the script. I wasn't given any background at all. I was just literally given the script and told that Olivia would be playing Edith and that these were the dates that they wanted, that needed to be shot. So it was more sort of practical information I had. So I read it, laughed out loud, and thought, what is the tone of this? What is going on? What is this story? And I got to meet Johnny, whom I didn't know beforehand, and discovered very quickly that it was based on a true story, at which point my mind it just opened the door to a million really interesting questions for me. Really, I suppose, as we've said already, two things. One is, who is the woman at the center of this story? So complex, so layered, so much going on, and yet at the same time, fantastic comedy. With real entertainment at its heart for me, this film, which is always very, very attractive. But also the complexity of lots of the characters that I felt were really fully fledged and crying out for a great cast. And so I then got into the process there with Johnny, and he and I worked very closely on the script.
So Theo, at that stage then, so what happens then between you and the writer? Because you say it's in a great position, but then
it was in a great place, but a script always, it never stops evolving. Even when you're shooting, it can still be, because there are even scenes that you've rehearsed and talked about with the actors, talked about with the writer, and things feel really solid, and then when you actually get on set and start reading it, prepping for the camera, something gets thrown in, whether it's that a prop feels different or the doors in a different place to where you'd assumed it was when you read it on the page, or sometimes just a line that had been perfect suddenly doesn't feel quite right. And when you have your writer with you, when you work very closely with your writer, that part of the process just carries on. Even at that point, it carries on also when you're in post. there are moments when you know you shoot a scene and you're really pleased with it and the dialogue seems to have flowed beautifully, but then when you get it into the edit, for some reason something bumps that you could never have anticipated, however much prep time you put into it. And then again, having the writer with you to work on, and often the sign of a really good writer is the one who says, you know what, you don't need that line, you just don't need it, take it out. And when, as soon as they're ready to start letting go of their own words, you know you're in good hands. So the process with Johnny, for me, it's almost always once you start casting the characters by definition, you start to really picture who's playing them, you start to hear the voices, and it enables me anyway to really start to dig deeper on who those people really are. And that's again when you want to get in the trenches with a writer right next to you. And, you know, you can't have every idea straight away. Ideas evolve. A process is there for a reason. You literally go on a journey. And as you change something for one character and you suddenly go, oh, God, of course. Well, if she's the oldest rather than the youngest, let's say, just as an example, what does that change in terms of her dynamic with her parents? And then the knock-on effect may be that later on, dad or mum says something that actually would really help if we have established that actually she's the eldest of 11 kids. Do you see what I mean? And so that journey and that process never, ever stops. And all you're doing all the time is digging and digging and digging and digging and digging. It's like a carpenter with a little, whatever you call it, as you kind of chip away, you know, and sometimes you're making tiny little things, but each time you make it, you're making a difference, which will have an effect on the thing as a whole. And for me, doing that with the writer next to me is like one of the most beautiful parts of the process.
You said Olivia Colman was already on board. So that means mm-hmm. that the other talent come on board, and obviously Jesse Buckley playing the other, the sort of opposite to Olivia's role. And how much, I mean, I've heard it, you know, when actors come on board, they have their notes and stuff about how their character may have been. And did it evolve again as the more cast come on board?
Do you know what? Every actor is different, of course. Every actor has their own process. Some like to sit with you and go through every single line of their character in the prep period so that once they get on set, they feel really comfortable that I know exactly where they're going with the character. I know exactly what the thinking is behind that line because we together have chosen that that's the right thing, or that the backstory of this character is X, which enables her to say Y in a certain moment. Some actors are like that. Others don't want to have any of those discussions. They simply want to have that time by themselves, and they prefer to turn up on set and they've created the character for themselves, and they only want you to start stepping in once they've started to say it out loud. And if something doesn't quite feel right, then they're open to a director coming in and making changes. So you always have to, you know, it's like being a parent. No child is the same. No child needs exactly the same level of parenting in every single area. And you have to be aware of that. And that's, for me, one of the main parts of the process. Because, again, I want my actors to be as comfortable, as confident, as safe, if you like, on set. Or scared, whichever it is that they need to be. So that they will get the most out of this character, which at the end of the day is what you want. You need to push all of these boundaries, not to a place where it stops being believable, but to a place where it really feels believable. Mm.
Now, you mentioned it when you first read the script, there was like, you know, what tone is this? And I think when you see the trailer for the film, I certainly got one impression was like, you know, like a bawdy comedy, you know, you knew it was going to be a bit foul-mouthed and a bit cheeky. But actually, one of the things that really surprised me watching the film was how light and dark the film goes. You know, it isn't just that kind of like, you know, that's a bit crude for the time or whatever. It's actually, there's something really serious going on in this film. And, you know, for example, just something like when we cut to prison, it's not like some funny version of the prison. It's like, yeah, this is punishment. This isn't good. So how did you go about sort of setting those sort of, you know, because it does run the extremes, because the laugh out louds are really laugh out louds, but.
But it's the vulnerability, I think, that is, that's exactly what I mean, though. So when I read it, I found myself laughing out loud at those bits. Just as you say, it's like a lot of the comedy is easy comedy, as in it's very straightforward. I know what it's meant to be, and you as an audience member know what it's meant to be, and you should be given permission to laugh out loud.
Sure.
Then, as you say, there are some really important quite serious, sort of deep. I mean, it, you know, what's really hard is when you start talking about the darkness in this film, or the more serious aspects of it, you can really steer a potential audience member off in the wrong direction, because it touches on some really big, important themes.
Mm.
But then I one of the aims that I wanted to hold throughout the process and the, literally the filmmaking process, was I never wanted an audience to walk away with feeling in any way bombarded by those sort of heavyweight conversations.
Yeah.
What I wanted is for people to have a good time watching it, and then also almost sometimes be shocked into having a character take them to a very different place.
Mm.
But then again, they're moved again to another place. But there's enough residue in there, because for me, the actors and the performances are so strong that it stays with you.
Yeah.
In the same way as, you know, that happens in life all the time. You know, somebody says something to you and it both makes you laugh, but then as you walk away, you suddenly think, oh my gosh, I've only just realized what he really meant when he said that.
Yeah.
And it's as you're walking away, you're having a very, very different thought about the same thing. And that for me was the joy of the script. And I knew that that was what I needed to hold on to, was the fact that it had the ability to go to very different places and tonally go to very different places.
Yeah, because one of the notes I made for myself is on a very surface level of the serious points you're making is that keeping up appearances is actually very performative.
Absolutely.
You shut your door and people are all are very different.
Well, but surely we all know that that's true.
Yeah, but it was lovely to see that sort of that contrast played out in terms of who's right and who's wrong. When we're not clear. there's no goodie or baddie in that sense.
No, exactly. But that's so often the way, isn't it? And for me, what interests me is getting behind into the heads of those characters as to why does she think she's right and why does the person next door think she's right. And, you know, as you learn about their background and that begins to unfold, perhaps your sensitivity changes. And, you know, what seemed to be the obvious decision or judgment to make about a person changes and shifts. And again, you know, it's funny because that's something I say to my kids a lot. I love being wrong. I love it. I love being proved wrong. I have no problem with that. And it's like with actors, I'm never afraid to, if they ask me a question, if I don't know the answer, I don't know, but we'll find out and we'll pursue it together. And I'll never, ever let you feel alone when you're standing in front of the camera. I will never, ever not give you an answer. So I'll never let you feel exposed, but neither am I going to.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And pretend that I know what the answer to something is if I don't. Let's go on that journey together to find out what that is. And often it's much more complex than you first realize. Or sometimes it's right underneath under your nose and there was an extra bit of information that gives the answer away. But you're right. And that's exactly what it is. You think, but how often, you know, I find it fascinating, that thing of friendship, when you think you know somebody really, really well.
Mm.
And then they go and do something that really lets you down because you didn't see it coming. Why is it that they do that? And that can be a really profound feeling.
It may sound like I'm being reticent if people listen to this and my questions, because I'm aware that if I ask you some questions, we could be spoiling the film, and that's the last thing I want to do. Because I think, you know, to echo what you were saying about the screenplay and stuff, I think the writing of this and the way the story pans out has some lovely twists and turns, which I don't want to spoil. So if I could jump into some of the sort of behind the camera stuff now. So your DOP, Ben Davis, when you first sat down with Ben, what were your conversations like about the look and feel? And maybe what were some of the, what were film references, photograph references, you know, even, you know, that you discussed about what you wanted to get?
Yeah. Do you know, one of the first films that we both had realized that we had hanging around in our mind.
Go on.
Was Kez.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, for two reasons. One was the sort of reality with which that film is shot in a way that is, it's like inescapably real.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean by that? You never question whether this is really happening. It just absolutely is. So there was something there to do with the technicality of the use of camera that we talked a lot about. We also talked about the color tones and how we wanted it to feel in that sense, and how color is used in something like Kez. And it was really important to me that in this film we were very sparing with color, and that we used it so that, for example, with the red letterbox, I wanted that to really stand out. Mm-hmm. So together, whether it was Ben, Charlotte in costumes, Christina in as my production designer, we were so careful to keep as much red off costumes, off the set, so that the letterbox, for example, every time we saw it, would stand out in the lighting. And also we talked, for example, Ben and I, one of the things we talked about was how to move the camera when you're in Edith's house versus when you're in Jesse's house. And we used very different techniques.
Oh, that's interesting.
For that, yeah. We also talked about angles and how close we wanted to get, because again, this is a film that is so much about what somebody's really thinking on the inside, and how best do you get the sense of really being almost inside somebody's mind when they're lying, when they're telling the truth, and where the camera best needs to be for the audience to be let into that. So we talked about everything, really, Ben and I, in terms of how best to tell a story that is, again, it's so much about people and behavior.
Indeed.
And as you say, it's also to do with presentation and how you want somebody to see yourself. And so what the camera is doing to preserve those aspects of the characters is also really important.
Moving into the post-production period of it, and your work with Melanie Oliver, your editor, what became, I mean, and you know, a film, a script is written, a film is produced, and then it's edited, and it goes on another journey again. So what for you were the great storytelling discoveries you got from the edit, or what were the challenges even?
I would say the biggest challenge remained the tone, because we found ourselves very quickly cutting it in a certain way, and it became a very broad comedy, almost too much so, at the detriment to the other side. We also did a version where we thought we'd cut it really brilliantly. This was probably about halfway through, and we thought we'd been really sort of arty and stylized. And we got my brilliant producer, Graham Broadbent, in to come and watch it, and Ed Sinclair, who was also my producer on it. And I remember this particular, and this happened a lot throughout the process, right? Because when you're cutting and you cut, and mostly it's just the two of you, you have to be really careful not to lose the woods for the trees, and you have to be very careful about who you bring in and when. Anyway, we got to that stage, and they'd seen it a couple of times already, and everyone was very happy about the way it was going, but we all agreed we still had work to do. And we thought we'd done this fantastic job and had a whole new thought on the angle. And so in they came, and I said, look, I'm not going to sit and watch this one with you. I'll let you watch that cut, and I'll go away and come back. And so Mel and I were outside, and we went and had a cup of coffee or whatever. And then we came back at the time, and we were like that against the wall with our ears listening to everything. And you couldn't hear anything. We were thinking, well, that's a really good sign. And so we snuck in, and I knew from the minute I walked in, not happy at all, because we'd gone too far. We had made something very elegant and arty, but they were like, where are the laughs? Where's the lightness? And it was brilliant. It was sort of heartbreaking that we put all of this work into something, but you learn something every time. And we'd learned that we'd gone too far that time. And this story had the ability to go either way. So that was one part of the journey that we discovered. And you know, the joy was, honestly, with every set of rushes that came in, the performances just stood out time and time and time again. And every time we went close, particularly on Olivia and Jesse, whom, you know, we tell the majority of the story through their eyes, you know, Mel would just ring me and say, I see it in these two women, and I see the performances that they're giving, and you know, it's going to be so much fun, she kept saying to me while we were shooting, to find the balance even just between them, because to cut away from one means you gain more time with one, but you, by definition, you lose time with the other. And so, you know, it's a very, very delicate journey editing a movie. And, you know, things like music, for example, change everything. You put one piece of music on a scene and you're left with a certain feeling, and then you take that off and you put it on something else and you'll feel quite different. So it's a very delicate process, and you need to work very closely with people you trust.
It's a large cast of female characters in this story that orbit around the two main characters, and because we're in that post-war period, we've got that, and this is, I think, one of the things, looking back on what it was like for women 100 years ago, you've got just they were liberated by the absence of men, even though going through a war, and then being told, I mean, you know, not literally in the film, but part of the message I got from the film is that you gave voice to that frustration of, well, actually, we quite enjoyed being able to think more for ourselves and act more for ourselves.
Yeah. And how do we all now refine our feet?
Yeah.
Now that the men are back. Yeah. I think it's a really important moment in women's history, if you like.
Yeah.
I mean, women I have to be careful to be a proponent of that, because that's as much an important moment in men's history too.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, people have been damaged by a war, and what, you know, want to hear us welcome, and then they're told, actually, no, the sands have shifted, and the world's not the one you left behind. That's a hard message to take.
Very difficult. And I think, you know, for me, for example, that was something that Timothy Spall was very, very keen to keep exploring. He knew, he understood the character of the father.
Mm.
But he wanted as much as possible, and wherever possible, however small, to make sure that we always made room for understanding why he might be the kind of man that he is.
Yeah.
And he, of course, was born in a different time. He, of course, has lost, we don't know exactly how many, but certainly two of his sons in France never came back because they died in the war.
That hits home, that, actually, when you kind of don't like him, and then you kind of get, you find yourself having sympathy for him at that point as well.
Exactly. And that's, you know, again, that's a good example how a small detail can just shift your sense of judgment about a person and why they behave the way they do, why they do the things they do. And that goes on, doesn't it? I mean, that the domino effect hits downwards. So, you know, it's really nice talking about it in this way, because you get a glimpse of the complexity of that moment in time.
Yeah.
And yet I'm delighted to say this is absolutely a comedy. It's 96 minutes and you have a real laugh. You know,
absolutely.
You really come out. Although, you know, I'm very touched by, there was a moment when I had quite a few messages from people who I know well enough for them to send me a message, but I don't know really well. I don't really know that their private lives and sort of makeup at home and stuff, but where I got a string of men in their probably 40s, 50s writing to me saying, actually, at the end of the movie, even though the cinema was, you know, crying with laughter, they felt incredibly moved in those moments because of, I think, mainly to do with a sudden understanding of the need for almost mental freedom that women of in a certain time needed, and women of a certain type, and the lives that they'd led, and how hard they'd worked to, as you said earlier, to present themselves in a certain way.
Mm.
And yet actually you suddenly realize that's not what makes them happy. And what freedom can give you, a sense of freedom, it's amazing what the cost of that can be, and yet still it's worth it.
One last question for you. Having come from a theatre background into film, what would you say is a lesson learned from theatre that you've been able to take into film that still stands you in good stead to this day?
I would say that for an actor, listening is the most important part of their job.
Okay.
If they listen to each other, that's where the real performance lies. If they think it's all about them and they're not really listening to what the other person is saying to them, they'll only ever give a certain level of depth to their performance. If they get to the point where they're not thinking about what they're saying, they're just listening to what the other person is saying, they will begin to present a much deeper level of performance.
Brilliant. Well, look, it just gives me to say thank you very much for giving your time on the BritFlix podcast.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Stuart. Take care.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.